Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 167, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's January 11th, 2021, a cool 9 days until January 20th. We don't know. Maybe the president's already been removed. Probably not. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Kimberly, can't you pass the cocaine? Kimberly, can't pronounce your name now. That is courtesy of Donald Trump Jr. Backstage watching the storming of the Bastille about to go down, and not really being able to pronounce his girlfriend's name. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Straight from the Senate fucking chamber!
From the slums of Capitol Hill, Kutang Clan strikes again. Insurrector Deck, Q God, Traitor Quan, Punisher Mask Face Killer, and T-R-A-I-T-O-R, man.
Okay, that was just something that hit me when I was making my toast today. Anyway, I had to laugh. I had to get my Wu-Tang in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shout out to everybody with the MF. I just love that thing, because the first thing I thought was
straight from the Senate fucking chamber,
and I was like, okay, hold on, we might have something here. Uh-huh. And also, I just want to say, everybody who had the fucking amazing MF Doom AKAs, please re-tag me in them, because you know the last couple days have been a little bit of a distraction. You might have seen my AKA game lacking. I'm trying to get back into it because I see the effort, I see the art, and I do want to engage with it. So just bring it back, refresh it back to me on Discord and Twitter, because I caught that.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Sophia Alexandra.
Hey! Hi. I'm so glad to be here.
What's up?
What's good?
Miles, I have so much to catch up on with you.
Since a few hours ago.
It's been ages.
I know. It truly has.
It's also really hard to talk shit about Jack now because he's right there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, you might as well go for it. He's wearing go that nuts. Same tie-dye this thing.
I can't. For, like, he's wearing an incredible sweater. Honestly, I'm not even.
Your tie-dye, look, for people who didn't have the view of that holiday photo of you and your family with the tie-dye fits, it caused problems in my home.
Oh, yeah?
Her Majesty was like, we should be doing stuff like that.
I know, mad jealousy.
So,
yeah.
Hey, jealousy.
Before Corona, you were just like V-neck into deep V-neck. You know, I was just always staring at your belly button. And now.
Oh, God.
Now you're really, you classed it up.
My belly button should never see the light of day. It's it actually doesn't emit light. It's just, I just feel like in there.
Yeah. You do you. And once you got it pierced, then I could really not take my eyes off.
Well, especially the way he made the top and the bottom one like interlock, the piercing.
Yeah. Right? That was kind of dope.
Yo, did you ever know anybody? I had homegirls who had the top and the bottom pierced. On
Yo,
the
you
navel.
Ever seen somebody with four?
Like what? Like northeast, like, southwest style?
Uh huh.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Does
shout
not
out to them.
Heal well.
That is the one.
Oh, that's what that scar is on your stomach?
That hangs around for sure. All right, Sophia, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. A Capitol Police officer passed away from injuries at the end of last week, from injuries from the riot in the Capitol. And so... yeah, we're just going to check in with like what the mind state must be for the people who were in there, in the Capitol.
Went and did that.
We'll talk about some insurrectionists who are like, yo, sorry, our bad, but it's all good now. We'll talk about, I'm going to check in with a clip from Anderson Cooper narrating the riot just because fuck that guy. We'll talk about some resignations. We'll talk about corporations and how they're doing their part to do absolutely nothing. Maybe we'll even get to Daddy Hat Girl. You remember her from the end of last week. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sophia, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, so I've been doing this thing with my husband where... we show each other a funny thing every night. And mine is this sketch that I love from Mad TV, which is the inflatable man. You know, the inflatable arm men?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's this sketch where it's a couple. It's like a human woman that marries an inflatable.
Like the one from outside of the car dealerships?
And it's so funny. And for a while, you couldn't find it on YouTube, but now you can. And the best part is when they show the bride's side and then the groom's side. And it's just other inflatable.
It's just all inflatable.
Flailing arm men. And it's so good. So that's amazing.
Blaine Kapach, the stand-up comedian, does a great impression of that because he looks like he's got the build of one of those dudes.
Oh.
They delight me. I laugh out loud every time I see one. I find them delightful.
It's those simple pleasures.
Really? Yeah. I'm very
You ever
simple.
Seen somebody turn them off?
No.
The saddest thing in the world.
It's a rare thing,
but I remember being like super high with people like, yo.
That's not right. That's like seeing a teacher outside of school. No
it's
one
just
needs
like,
to
ah,
see that.
The party, y'all.
And then oh, no.
Wither to the floor. Yeah. You hate to see it.
That's like a shot from that how-to show with John. It's a John Normal name guy from HBO. He always finds like these incredibly poetic, like very sad shots from.
Oh, how to with John
life.
Wilson?
Yeah, how to with
that show
John.
Is fucking amazing.
I don't
that
know
guy's
that show.
Eye for detail is unbelievable. It's
a
just
show
poetry.
Yeah. It's a show Nathan Fielder is executive producing on HBO, and it's. It's very similar, like in ethos, in that it's like, we're just gonna find something and then just absorb it. Like, this guy just walks, he has hours of footage he just takes around New York City. But there are times when he just indulges his curiosity about a thing, and it'll go from being in a grocery store to who knows what else. or alt. I mean, I don't even want to spoil it.
That sounds awesome.
It's
and
so
I'm
worth
watch it.
Watching. And even if you beautiful. Even if you've watched it, go to Nathan Fielder's YouTube channel because he has a featurette that he uploaded that was clearly like, I guess HBO gave him money to do like a behind the scenes digital featurette. And it starts off with him and John Wilson talking about like why they work together and what Nathan saw in his work and vice versa. And then it takes a very Nathan for you-esque turn in the middle of it because John Wilson goes like, yeah, I'd like to think like Nathan has like a good eye for talent. You know, like he obviously like he spotted my work and was interested. And also like, you know, he's also kind of working with some influencers and they do this hard cut to Nathan running a TikTok house with all these like shirtless young guys. And he's just like stalking in the background, like making sure they're doing their choreography and stuff and telling them they can't talk to their families and shit. So there's a lot. There's a lot it's offering. But great
he
distraction.
There's just all this footage. It's like B-roll. He is the king of B-roll. He just gets like all these beautiful like shots of just weird random shit happening around New York City.
If I watch it and it's just going to be a fucking plastic bag floating in front of a brick wall, I'm going to fucking lose it. And I'm going to call you at your house.
No, it's way better because imagine he found the person whose bag that was and went to their house and then found out why they had the bag because they were smuggling animals or something.
Right.
That's how, because it starts, the first
Yo,
one.
Yo, you know what this reminds me of?
He goes to Cancun and it gets so deep out of nowhere.
Yo. That relationship with the dude in Cancun who's like down there and just like, yeah, man, I don't know. He's like the biggest, like just straight up like fuck boy, like just the person you would not dig deeper with in a conversation. And it just goes so deep and like profound. It's wild. Yeah.
It's kind of like that podcast, The Mystery Show. Did you ever listen to that?
Yeah, Starlight Kine.
That's still like the GOAT show. But yeah,
that's my favorite. I'll re-listen to it. Like finding out how tall Jake Gyllenhaal is. That shit is
that
amazing.
That was so satisfying. Or like the Britney Spears novel one. Or the first one, like, wasn't it Must Love Dogs? Like the VHS tape that was returned to the store that was closed
was
forever.
Was the store there? Was it
or
not
Marley
there?
And
that
me
shit
or something?
Was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, but this probably. Episode, if you know, everybody has a way to, you know, striminal, hop on your Plex server, whatever. Watch this show because this first episode, it's about him just kind of looking at some stuff and he gets the idea to go to MTV Spring Break in Cancun and he's by himself and he's just taking video of everything and it plays out in a beautiful way. The entire show is really fucking something.
I can't wait to see it.
The dying like a inflatable man is the sort of thing that would just be like a throwaway shot in that show. But anyways, people need to check it out. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, so this actually leads in perfectly into my underrated because I've been loving the shit out of watching The Repair Shop. Have you guys watched that show?
No.
Okay, so it's basically British people doing gentle fixings. And what I mean is like, it's literally like a whole barn of people that are all kinds of experts in weird shit, like a saddle maker, like, or like, you know, someone that
carpenter
knows exactly how precisely to restore this like car from the 1900s, whatever. And then people just come in with their treasure things and they're like, this is my grandma's ceramic clock. And they're like, oh, what does it mean to you? And they're like, oh, my grandma used
everything.
To whatever. And then, and then they clean it. It's so fucking satisfying. I call it, the gentle fixing show, but it's The Repair Shop. And honestly, if you want to feel cozy, it's like the British Bake Off, but it doesn't make you hungry for food.
Right.
Nice. That is a
wait, so like,
the British Bake Off.
And it's just truly like every episode is like, I have this. And it's like, all right, experts, like make this motherfucker work and restore the shit out of this thing.
Yes. And it's gentle British people. And two of them are siblings. And they like do different restoration things. There's no plot. It's just being like,
I don't need a plot.
Grandpa's World War II leather jacket from when he was a fucking aviator. Can you fix it?
I love
it?
Process video, yeah.
It's so... Watching someone repair a painting, dude, I could jerk off to that. It's so fucking soothing.
Oh, okay. No tubing on this Zoom call.
Sorry.
Please.
It's too late.
We've had a number of incidents already.
I just like rise up and I'm pantless.
You're like, oh my God. It's like, what? Yeah, well, teach their own. But I was going to say the anything with people like cleaning stuff. You know, it's like there's that subreddit Oddly Satisfying where it's like, yeah, I can watch people pressure wash a driveway. I'm not joking. Oh, yes. Last night I watched a video of somebody cleaning a diamond ring in like an ultrasonic bath and just like shaking all this shit out and just bringing it back up looking brand new. I was like,
these motherfuckers,
let's watch it again.
These motherfuckers repaired a garnet bracelet and I watched it like it was, I don't know, like the birth of my first child. It was satisfying and just really, yeah, it's gentle and it's really fun what they find out. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, so the signature, the back of this painting. So we did a little research and then they'll like tell you some amazing shit. It's really cool.
Oh, so it's kind of like a little bit of Antiques Roadshow and a little bit of fixing. So you got to get a little bit.
Yeah, but there's no stakes, which is what I love.
Yeah,
about
for
it.
Sure.
Like,
but
you
but you're
you don't
some
win
history,
anything
though.
Except for like right. delighting the person that brought you the thing.
I
love
do
British
wonder,
people.
People were talking about Emily in Paris being like, not really, it's just ambient TV, it's like background noise TV, and I do wonder if we're headed for that being like at least half of everything that gets made is like conflictless, just stuff you can have on in the background that's like pleasing to the soul that you don't really have to invest anything
in. I always have that term about it's on in the background. And yeah, as I've kind of began to like wrestle with my like attention deficit disorder from having 3 billion tabs open, you know, listening to a podcast and reading an article and type, you know, doing all that shit, like how much it's just like spreading my brain thin. I've tried really hard to not do background TV watching anymore. Like just to be like, if this shit is on, like I have to give it all of my attention because like it's effect, like even like, there are so many moments. The reason I stopped would there be moments I would get up and my short term memory was starting to just like short circuit real quick. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, that's right. I'm gonna do this thing because I was in the middle of like reading and TV watching and whatever. And as I've become more conscious of it, I feel like it's helping a bit. But yeah, it's definitely something to consider.
That used to be a thing that was notable when I would like walk into a room and not remember why I was in that room. And now that's just every day. That's how I live
every
my
day,
life.
Bro.
That's every day, oh boy. Bro.
Try for a while, like to discipline your brain to just focus on one task at a time. Because even having like stopping the tab wars, like I only have tabs open when we do the show, like because I have to have it. But my browsing, I try really hard to just be like, okay, what am I looking at right now? Go there, and have I completed that information task or whatever, purchase whatever, then move on to the next thing. Versus like a screaming browser window that's like, ah.
I started doing pottery when I watch something. Like I do pinch pots.
Oh, I like
and
that.
That way I won't browse shit on my phone, you know?
Right.
Because I hate the thing where I'm like browsing and tweeting and doing whatever, but also watching the thing and they'll rewind it like 3 times and still miss the thing I was trying to catch. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? So now like I do pottery and watch something. So that way like my hands are doing something and I'm sort of concentrated, but also I am watching.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not like you're reading something on the pottery as you're doing it and like taking in all kinds of new info. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like turn off to your brain and a way to focus that's kind of like pleasing.
One thing at a time, like core could be like a movement. You should trademark that and like become
I mean, it's from
leader.
Like the numerous articles I read. But yeah, I guess in true scammer energy, I will actually just begin my new church. Just
shout out Lazy.
One at a time.
OTAC.
One at a time. Yep.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so people are gonna be mad about this, but it is the Queen's Gambit.
I still haven't seen it.
I really wouldn't bother because honestly, you don't learn shit about chess. There's no character development. It's beautiful. If you want to look at dope ass outfits and like set design
vibes
and stuff, amazing. Yeah. If you want a vibe, yes.
Okay.
But this show doesn't do anything well. Like, there's, I like it. It just makes me so mad. It's like this is a failure of not just a whole department, but like several departments. The only people that were on it were the set designers and the fucking costumers and whatever. Because the show is a woman that just basically doesn't do anything other than take pills and then look up at the ceiling. That's not even how drugs work. You don't like immediately become like It's just so annoying. That's not how chess works. That's not how drugs work. It's not how fucking anything works. And they have that magical Negro trope. I cannot. She doesn't see this woman Negro for like in the a show? Thousand do, years. Do. And then she shows up in the end and she's like, I've saved you. My only purpose was to give you purpose.
Right.
I fucking truly hated it anyway. So enjoy. I not hated it. I hated how much everyone loved it. I found it mediocre. Let's put it like that.
I think that's fair. That's fair. I think that's very fair. It is a sports movie played out over seven episodes. There is no more takeaway than there is from like Friday Night Lights or something like that.
No, but there's like no drama in the chess either.
Yeah, she's just real good.
Oh, yeah. Like she's just like wasting people and then she's like, all right, time to fucking trip out on drugs to get my life together.
That's literally it.
And well, the drugs help her and make her better at chess. And then the
and there's
question
no reckoning
is like,
for any
can,
of it.
Yeah, she just decides to stop using drugs and is still good at chess.
And that's, as you know, exactly how drugs work.
How yes. any kind of chemical dependency works. Yep.
Yep.
And just like that, I got off of it. And I'm just back
and
on my
life
chest
is perfect. So I suggest it. Highly recommend these drugs if you want to be a chess fucking prodigy. It just makes no sense as a movie whatsoever. It's a collection of images.
I guess that's what I think. And that's what I feel like to me seemed like the most appealing. I was like, oh, this shit looks slick, like from the stills and like little excerpts I saw. And then I think, Jack, you were saying like it just makes it feel like. Like sports or like this like rock star, like it's just more like you're watching it, you're like but you're never like I got a fucking meaning out of it.
right
but there's like so many amazing like basketball movies and stuff that have drama and you learn about the sport and it's fucking
love and
like,
basketball.
Yeah, are you kidding me? There's so and there's like shows about football where I didn't know shit about football, but I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh, I learned a ton. I now understand.
Love Coach. You love that show Coach.
It feels like
Coach was really where it's at for me.
It does feel like of that. It feels like a movie that would only exist if, or a show that would only exist if it was based on a true story, and it's not based on a true story or even like inspired by a true story. It's just like, yeah, we just kind of made this up. It's from the novelist who made The Natural and the pool hustling novel that became the pool hustling movie with Paul Newman. So it's just like he just writes fantastical sports stories. But yeah, I would also give a shout out to the casting because I do think the fact that they found a living, breathing anime character helped a lot for the like that's what
shout
a big
out
part
on
of
casting a model to just look pretty when she moves pieces around.
And also
come on.
And also the director who played her mom, who I had never seen in anything, or who played her foster mom.
Oh,
really
that's
good.
Emily Heller's sister.
Yeah, she was
really?
Muriel Heller, and she's amazing in it. Actually, that let me give a shout out to that. Her acting is fucking sick in it.
Yes.
She does all of the work for everyone in terms of acting. She pulls
She's
the whole
great.
Thing. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. At the end of last week, another person passed away. This was a Capitol police officer.
Who knows what happened here? I don't know. This is weird. I mean, the thing that you know is that the person, this officer, suffered a head injury. What they suspect was a fire extinguisher or something. And then they were rushed to like the office to get away from the chaos. And then they had a stroke and then were taken off life support. So for whatever reason, as if it weren't bad enough that a bunch of insurrectionists just mobbed the Capitol, that now adding to this, people are like, oh, well, now a police officer has died. Now we have to go into, you know, protect the police mode rather than like, I don't know, maybe impeach or remove the president right away mode. But this does mean a lot for like the people that are there. If this is like prosecuted, like other things, like now the Capitol is like a murder scene. The people who were engaged in anything around this officer when it happened, like the punishments could be much more severe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
It just seems like there's going to be way more motivation for these people to be brought to justice. And the president, this is happening at the same time that the president has just kind of abandoned them like he does. Every single person who's ever hitched their wagon to him.
Use him and abuse him.
Who he wasn't actively trying to have sex with. He just throws them under the bus and then, you know, drives back and forth over them a number of times. But yeah, there's also footage of he and his family backstage during the riots or right as the riots are about to begin, taken by Donald Trump Jr. They're playing Gloria. Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly, as he calls her, both look very coked up, and they're like, it's T-minus 5 seconds, you guys. We're going to do it. Fight. And it's just a wild contrast of how not seriously they're taking any of this, and how it's just a party.
I also just want to say that I was illegally arrested at a protest when I was in college in D.C.
Yeah,
right.
And I can tell you that when I got illegally arrested with 648 other people who were peacefully protesting, they had buses ready and numbered, mm-hmm. and police were out in riot gear. They were prepping for the protests for like months to like beat people down and like take them off the street. So to see how easy it was for everybody to riot and just walk into the Capitol, knowing that they beat college kids down for doing nothing like that. And it's very obvious, obviously, to compare this to the Black Lives Matter protests. But I just want to say, in terms of specifically the way that DC MPD handles protests, mm-hmm. they're like known to be very brutal.
Yeah, and I think that's what
and the police chief is known for being very brutal. So it's very interesting to see how this developed.
It's not interesting. I think it's just clear that they were participating in allowing this to happen. I think
exactly.
It's the only way to talk about it. Like the tired ass line.
The collusion is what's sickening.
The media line of like, they were just so woefully prepared. They were not prepared to overthrow the government. They were, the more reports that come out, the more, like, video you see, you're like, oh, my God. There was one guy who went into the Capitol, came out, and he's like, yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, you could tell some of the cops were, like, on our side, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, right. Because that's what we're trying to get people to see. This is all, it's all part of the same thing.
It's all one system. It's all one system.
They're now saying that it was the ease with which they were able to break in was part of a plot to like get them in trouble. They're like, well, they just let us in. So it was clearly a setup to try and get us in trouble.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't think that's quite how it works.
It's that they couldn't have had a coup where the police were actually the ones who were, you know, harassing the politicians. So the plan was always to have this fascist goon squad come through and do the work while they just let them pass through. Because
right.
that's
exactly.
how it was never supposed to be the state, you know, in the form of law enforcement perpetrating the coup. It's that their participation in it is to allow the mob to do it and then be like, okay, well, I guess that's who's the boss now. All right, let's do our thing. Right. So
and
it's
I
all
guess,
very fucked
yeah.
to watch.
And I guess like part of my point is that like, knowing and not preparing for the coup is mm-hmm. as treasonous, if not more so, than being the idiots that walked in and stormed and did the coup.
Well,
so knowing that they have the information and knew about the gathering and didn't do anything, I'm just tired of saying things that obviously are treasonous right. and sound like treason. And it just sounds dumb for me to say that. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this has been an exercise of us saying things like presidents shouldn't commit treason.
Right.
Immigrant children shouldn't be locked in cages. And sometimes when you say it out loud, do you not feel like this, like you're saying things that there's no reason to say? It's like we breathe air, but it needs to be said now. That's how the last however long has felt to me.
I've been
like
feeling
years
like
and years.
We have to articulate the basic, the lowest bar to meet as a human. But yeah, it does. But it is surreal to have to reiterate that all the time, given like what is happening. So yeah, and I think the other part of it is that this really had the potential. It's very clear that there was something else. Like the intent wasn't just to go in there and occupy it. Like the more you see all of these like paramilitary type dudes with flex cuffs and asking where people are and roaming the halls being like, where are they at? Where are they? Like they were clearly there for blood. And it's just that things got bungled and it was so disorganized that people are also kind of being like, oh my gosh, Viking helmet guy. And it's like, no, there were people like there, the photos of them trying to like, do whatever to the doors once they got into the gallery and things like that is very should be very, very unsettling for people. And on top of that, they found explosive devices all over.
I was just going to say, how are we not talking about the pipe bombs?
How are we not talking about the highest COVID death day ever? You know what I mean? But this is This is the fucking vortex we're in right now.
Yeah. So some of the insurrectionists have come out and just kind of been like, our bad. And like people who, there are pictures of, you know, being in the chamber, like coming out and just being like, yeah, you know, we didn't mean to embarrass our state or whatever. Yeah.
The main guy, right? I'm sure everyone saw the photo of that asshole sitting where Mike Pence was presiding over the Senate with his fist in the air screaming, begging for his father's validation from the fucking dais up there in the Senate.
Right. Mm-hmm,
that guy who's like, that's a very iconic photo. He's also the same dude, if you might have seen, he was like a guy hanging off the top of the gallery, the Senate gallery, like about to drop in. Same guy. Okay. His name is fucking Josiah Colt, and he's from the Boise area. And the whole thing with this is just, it's just funny to watch, you know, because the internet is already exposing a lot of these dumb as fuck fascists. And obviously there are many professionals included, you know, from real estate brokers, lawyers for insurance companies, elected officials. It's everybody, you know, it's
a lot of former military, former police, active too. Military, active police. Yeah.
So, yes, it's a whole swath of people now. But this guy particular, he's like sort of one of these people, right? Because like while the wealthier patriots, who are the people who like private jetted into D.C. to storm the Capitol, there's like a class of...
I retweeted that bitch's handle if anybody wants to
Oh, yeah,
to
no, she's
her.
She's done. She's cooked. Like, she's cooked. And like, I saw her melting down on Twitter the other night being like, where are my patriots at? There's too many haters and they're tagging the FBI and everything. I didn't do anything. Anyway, there's people like that who... on one level are like these sort of more typically more moneyed, wealthy people who dress up in all the regalia and say all this bullshit that they're not about, but they know there's followers who flock to it and feed off of it. So for them, it's nothing to be like, they're stealing everything. And then they put their phone down and then they sip champagne. Then you have this guy who is clearly like some, you know, guy my age who has probably been on a steady diet of weird red pill Twitter, YouTube, etc. And then this people like this other woman are in his media environment. So then he finds himself in the Capitol. Now, he's been denying a lot of stuff, but I just want to take people through a timeline of what he was posting. Before he left for DC, he commented on a friend's Facebook photo and said, it's time to fight for the freedom of this country from getting bulldozed by the domestic terrorists in office, pushing Chinese communist agendas and ideology while stripping our freedoms away one by one. Now is the time to fight. Please name three freedoms that have been stripped away, please. But I guess you can't. But don't worry. On to the next thing. Then the night before the siege, it's time to take back our freedom. It's going to be crazy tomorrow. Praying that everybody are able to prove a point without violence, but you don't know. You don't know how it's going to go down. Okay, OG. Say less, my man. So then he got into the Capitol and took all those photos. And, you know, he realized when he got out, he was like, oh, shit, man. Like, I was there. But then he realizes he's now very famous. So I just want to play a clip of when he got out of the Capitol and is talking all this shit, and then he begins to realize, oh, I'm fucked.
I just got in the light. I just got in the Capitol building. I was the first one. I hopped down into the chamber, and I was the first one to sit in Nancy Pelosi, that bitch, her she's a traitor, she's treasonous. But I sat like,
okay, so that's him basically being like, yeah, it was me. And we did that, although, my man, that was the Senate, but okay, right. That was Mike Pence's chair. And so that was like the first part. Then he posts this to his stories, this next thing where it's the gravity of the situation is beginning to hit him.
I'm sitting here and I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I'm in downtown DC. I'm all over the news now, but like, I'm just like every single one of those people that was marching, like, a peaceful protest, came here to represent America. We're tired of being lied to. We're tired of people stealing, you know, from us, stealing our freedom, stealing our liberties. And, you know, I didn't hurt anybody in there. Like, yeah, I did sit in Nancy Pelosi's seat. Like, she shouldn't be there. She's not. She doesn't reprimand.
All right, I'll stop you there. But it's weird to even hear them articulate out loud, because it's like they're realizing their words are actually failing to articulate a real belief system. Like,
right.
They're just regurgitating like boilerplate shit they read on Twitter, which is like, the stripping away our freedoms, Chinese communist prop, like they're just words that they string together about this thing of like, we're against that. And he's like, and he's so like, oh, but you know, like I was just like everybody else. So once he realizes like motherfuckers are looking for him, he sent a statement to his local like news station in the Boise area to get the record straight. Also, he's lawyered the fuck up now. And he said, quote, I love America. I love the people. I didn't hurt anyone and I didn't cause any damage in the chamber. I got caught up in the moment. And when I saw the door to the chamber open, I walked in, I hopped down and I sat on the chair. I said my piece. Then I helped a gentleman get to safety that was injured. Then I left. While in the chamber, I told the other protesters that this is a sacred place and not to do any damage. Some of them wanted to trash the place and steal stuff, but I told them not to and to leave everything in its place. We're still on sacred ground. In the moment, I thought I was doing the right thing. I realized now that my actions were inappropriate and I beg for forgiveness from America and from my home state of Idaho. My intention wasn't to put a stain on our great country's democratic process. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, please. I didn't know what I was doing. I got caught up in the white supremacy and my whiteness came over me and I thought I was invincible, but now that there are repercussions. Get fucked. Absolutely. And I do believe that we need to figure out how to like rehabilitate people. Yep. Because it can't just be like, all right, go over there so y'all can go into some cave world and come back as like barbarians at the gate type shit. I don't know what is happening. But like, is there a process of being like, can you articulate out loud how bad you fucked up? Do you know everything you said was wrong? Do you actually know that? Do you actually believe that? Dude, but I don't know how people are deep in the cult.
How far back do you have to go to like teach dude about civics? About right. ethics, about life. Like, how far back do you go? I can't meet him when he's seven.
No, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm curious to know. That's which I think brings a larger conversation, too, of like, how can somebody who
doesn't want to learn
hopped up on this? Because, you know, there are people, you know, who are neo-Nazi reformed skinheads who see the light and come back and things like that.
I believe in that. I'm just saying, how do you teach somebody who doesn't want to learn?
That's what I mean. But that's what I mean. Because I think these are, because suddenly the contrition comes out when it's, oh, no, you're, that's a criminal offense you're committing and you will go to jail for that. And that's because everything, I think that's the thing, like whiteness creates this world of a consequence-free world from your actions when you're working in tandem with the larger group of white supremacy. And like that protection goes up in smoke the second, like, FBI. And now they're like, right. Wait, what? I mean, But it was me. It was the other patriots. And what do you mean? I didn't do anything. I told them it was sacred ground. What the fuck is this? Fuck.
I was in there telling them not to come up there. That's why I was up on Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi's chair.
That's not fair. You should have. Where's the picture of me putting together Speaker Nancy Pelosi's sign? And I was super gluing it. And I was putting it back because I'm like, guys, this isn't nice. Okay. She's a traitor.
When I was carrying
the
podium. I was carrying it to be fixed and cleaned, actually.
Yeah, I was taking it to their repair shop show in the UK.
Yes, I was taking it to the repair shop barn, and no one respects that about me.
I mean, the freedoms that they're talking about being, suppressed are the freedoms to spread coronavirus
COVID?
Around. To not wear a mask. And they're complaining about that and violently, breaking into the Capitol building on the worst day of COVID in the history of COVID in America. Thousands
deaths.
Of people are dying.
Yeah.
Most deaths, deadliest day. And yeah, I don't know. I do wonder, you know, people were saying, look, you took Trump off of Twitter for a single day and all of a sudden he's repentant, and I don't buy that for a fucking second.
No, it's his legal exposure.
Right. But I do wonder, like, this is so much, like, the fact that they are that hemmed in by these beliefs, like, I do wonder how much if we're able to ever take Twitter away, take Facebook away, which I don't even know if that's possible, like how much that will give people an opportunity to actually do what you're talking about and at least come up from a breath.
I mean, you start off by rounding all these people up and being like, knock, knock, guess who, bitch?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, and then, because there's a different, that's when you'll realize who you ride, what freedom actually is. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, am I that down for freedom? I'll do that shit in a jail cell. Or are you real? I'm like, oh man, that was okay. I guess this is real. Or you'll just say whatever you have to out of self-preservation. You never know with anybody trying to rehabilitate themselves or whatever. But yeah, it just becomes a very complicated situation. And even with Donald Trump's weird ass wooden video that he put up, being like, guys, that was so fucked up what everybody did. I am totally not with that. If you do that, you're not down with Trump gang. I'm telling you that right now. You ain't MAGA. That was fucked up. And I never said anything like that. But like, and the reaction on like the, you know, the Donald.win website, or, you know, all the other Parler where they congregate, was there were some people who were like, man, fuck this guy. He literally told us to do this shit. And now that there's pressure, he's fucking leaving us with the bag. There's that reaction where people are seeing it for what it is. Like, he sold us out. There are other people who are like, oh my God, is that a deep fake? Like, that can't be, he can't be saying that. He's saying Joe Biden is the president. So there's definitely, like, within it, there are people who are like, had enough and are maybe realizing it's all bullshit. Other people who are just going to, out of self-preservation, go deeper. So it's so hard to tell.
What I wonder is, like, when you see someone, they're just like chaos agents. When you see someone just destroying the very thing that they are claiming to protect and want and like revere, it just becomes really weird. It's like they don't think past the first step. Okay, like you pissed in Nancy Pelosi's chair and you took her laptop. Mm-hmm. And you want to put your guy in that chair, right? You're going to have to clean that piss up. Right. Like, the thing is like, no one's thinking. No one's thinking for the next step. They're just so angry at now. That there's nothing there. It's like after the chaos has been expressed, there's nothing to replace it, you know? And to be like trying to constantly undermine a government and say that you don't believe in it while trying to install your guy in the government, it's like always been the weirdest, dumbest thing to see. Yeah. It's like whenever Republicans run for office and they say they want less government, I'm like, honey, you're running for government.
Yeah, but I want to kneecap it while I'm there, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Just means so we'll lower taxes.
The thing that worries me is like there's such a streak of intellectualism and anti-knowledge and learning that I'm just worried that once the chaos has been expressed and these people have nothing and nowhere to go and nothing to do, like what the fuck is going to happen? Because once they've already pissed on the government and they don't respect it, what's the way back?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Man, I already, when you were talking about them saying that, like, is that a deep fake? I can already see the next 2 years where there's going to be a huge faction of the MAGA people who believe Trump died, that they killed Trump and replaced him. Like, this is like one of the most underrated types of conspiracy theories, like the Paul is dead. People love to do a Paul is dead and just claim that like their hero was killed and replaced by a body double of some sort. So that's one thing we have to look forward to, is Trump is dead. This is this new Trump is Trump robot, which maybe that'll harm his ability to get reelected in 2024.
And then he's like, no, hold on, I'm not a robot. And they're like, fuck you, bot Trump. And he's like, no, seriously, look at me. Look, you can touch my fake hair. And look, this is all, the makeup comes off, guys. Please.
I want to see him cut himself to prove he's a human.
Oh my God. Just dust comes out.
Just some black sludge. They're like, this doesn't answer any
questions.
They're
like, it's him.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And as we're talking about how to, you know, deal with the people, the rioters who went into the Capitol building, the insurgents, one way I'd say we probably shouldn't deal with them is how Anderson Cooper described them while the insurrection was taking place. I just want to play a quick clip of how he was describing what he thought of the people who were doing this.
Okay.
Of completely unpatriotic, completely against law and order, completely unconstitutional behavior. It's stunning. And they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at and the Garden Marriott. And they're going to have some drinks.
Oh, back to the Olive Garden, I see.
Have some drinks,
and you're
gonna have their little light beers, their domestic light beer. Yeah, Anderson Cooper, who is a Vanderbilt, who is a descendant
the great,
of the Vanderbilt,
great hella fucking grandson rich. Of Cornelius, slave owner Vanderbilt. The dude literally owned the plantation, from what I recall, where Michelle Obama's ancestor was born into bondage.
Yep.
Was owned by Cornelius Vanderbilt. And yes, he's the daughter of Gloria Vanderbilt. That's his mom, right? Gloria's
yes.
mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah. And of course, you got him being on this shit. I mean, look, he's always likes to be catty and snarky and shit like that. But like, this is just so dumb because he also fails to understand like that he is also part of this protected class that is so vividly unaware of what is happening that
That's
all
he
can
he
muster
sees.
Up is just yeah. like, oh my God. Did you
he
see that? I
poor
think the tags from
for
Ross
the
were still
people.
On his jacket.
Yes, exactly. And meanwhile,
it's so weird because I didn't process it like that when I heard it, and I'm sure I'm wrong, but like what I heard it as was him saying like, and maybe because I'm coming at it from a totally, I'm not a Vanderbilt, but I was thinking like he sounds like he's like outraged that they're gonna go and spread Corona to the people that work at Olive Garden and at the hotel. But now that you're saying where it's coming from, I'm like, oh, I totally came at it with my
yeah,
with my worries. I was like, oh, no, the staff. I'm like, oh, I don't think he was
well,
thinking
like,
that.
On one hand, you'd think like there could be the nuance to say like he's saying that and then could extend it with, and these are people that you know. And
yeah,
like these people are around. Don't mm-hmm. be fooled. But instead, he's just like, and they're just going to go and say they had a great, this is the end of the quote. He says they have a great day in Washington and they stood up for nothing other than mayhem.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so you're just finger wagging from your fucking private jet.
And also speaking of private jet, there were people there. There's a woman there who flew to Texas to on a private jet. So like he's doing revisionism to make it. And like, he's not intentionally doing that, but that's like just where he comes from. That's a symptom of where he sits and how he perceives this.
I think the milk toast reaction is really similar to like the Joe Biden first speech where I was like, all you needed to do was call what it is, what it is, call it white supremacy, call it treason, get angry.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and then instead we're getting these like milk toast responses that are just like, ah. And when Anderson Cooper calls it mayhem, that's really just so under like you're minimizing the thing that is happening in words that are just don't mean much.
Right? Yeah.
And don't really have any context. Mayhem just makes it sound like it came out of nowhere instead of this is a coordinated white supremacy attack on the democratic foundation of this country.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than like, Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
That's mayhem.
Right. Okay. You know what I mean? That's like when my parents went out of town and I had a party. Mayhem.
Right.
Well, but again, that's, I think we're constantly reminded of just the disconnect of like who the politicians are, who the pundits are on TV, and they're utter, like, they're not connected to the same thing. Like they're just commenting on a show they're watching called Other People's World.
Right. Right. And, you know, protecting Anderson Cooper doesn't want to pay double what he pays in taxes so that hungry people can eat. You know, he wants the status.
Unless they're eating at an Olive Garden.
Right.
I don't want to give them that and see them at Crustacean. God.
Also, the Olive Garden fucking rules. So,
except the people who own the company. It's tough. You know, it's like
the food rules. Yeah.
Food like rules. The company
sucks. The breadsticks
sucks.
Are
the
terrible.
The breadsticks are hitting. Well, they hit when you're broke. And
no,
you love
they're
them
terrible,
and it,
but they're so free.
Yeah, they're so free. And also the salad is really good, in my opinion. I haven't been there since I was
like 12 or something.
No, I've been there like.
Well, I just got kicked out because I refused to wear my mask in there.
Right.
But I will
Thank
be back.
Thank you.
Because I love the Italian
about
wedding
freedoms.
Suit.
They wouldn't let me eat there with my podium, so I had to go. I was like, we would like a table for two. And they're like, technically, the person you're eating with is a table.
Okay,
and
actually.
I got really offended, and me and the podium had to go.
And you're like, fine, can I just get a tablecloth for my table I brought then? I'll eat off of my speaker's podium.
How dare you? I will never cover my friend with a white cloth unless we're... you know, at the Klan meeting.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. At the Olive Garden.
At the Olive Garden.
There's also another way that people are responding to the fallout is Betsy DeVos has resigned and with a strongly worded note, you know. I don't even know if it was an official statement or if it was just her like leaking word to people.
Doesn't matter.
But off, this, she monster. Has
had it.
Yeah, she's out of this. I'm off of this, I think is what she said. I'm off of this shit. And
you disgusting profiteering, no fucking.
Same with Elaine Chao.
Oh, bitch. I will fucking kick you in the face if I see you on the street.
There you go.
Right.
Allegedly.
Elaine Chao.
Speaker or Majority Leader McConnell's wife, who's the Secretary of Transportation, who is clearly doing the most in that position to help out business interests in her family and other people that she knows. And these two people, they're the first cabinet members to resign. And many people were like, oh, God, finally, what'd it take? It's like, well, hold on now. They're not doing this because they reached a line. They're also doing this because if the 25th Amendment is invoked and as cabinet members would have to basically participate in removing the president in the ouster, they fear the fucking mob. So by resigning, they don't have to deal with any 25th Amendment shit. They're saying, oh, right. No, don't get me near that because I don't want my name on some list of where MAGA gang is going to be like, these are the people that betrayed the president. So for all of that, like, it's just cowardice all around. And even on top of that, you have the Democrats like passing this like impeachment removal hot potato around. Like, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. Mike Pence, you need to do the 25th. Oh, we're going to impeach. Well, yeah, maybe. But because if he doesn't do it, then we will. Motherfuckers, you have the fucking House.
Right.
And the Senate is going to be 50-50. But also you have plenty of Republican senators. Even Ben Sasse is like, yo, if they kicked up impeachment in the Senate, I would really consider that shit because what I saw was bullshit. Now, I don't know what that means, but you would put Mitch McConnell in a weird spot by just swiftly getting through the articles of impeachment in the House, sending it to the Senate. And I'd be like, what about all that shit you were talking on Tuesday, Mitch, or on Wednesday? Before all the shit went down, you were like, oh, this is absolutely terrible. And like the misinformation. And on top of that, it seems like you were mad enough that these people pulled up on the Capitol, your place of work. So then what? So like, they're both weak sauce as fuck. And I'm sick of it because like the bottom line is they have the insulation and protection of being elected officials.
Right.
Normal citizens do not. So their calculus is completely different. Other people are saying like, I see what happens in the streets. I see what happens in my neighborhoods. I see what happens in my city hall that isn't even near the Capitol, where there are people who are subscribing to this rhetoric and dogma and what they do in physical space. And these are threats to our safety. Yet they're like, well, I don't know. It's the weekend, y'all. Maybe, I mean, next week we're going to get on it. But what then?
But this is as mad as Mike Pence has been at Trump. So, you know, that's so something. Yeah, that's, you know what I mean? That's big news.
All of this is bullshit. And it doesn't mean anything unless actually there's anger and consequences and responsibility. Consequences. And that's not going to happen. Because this is what politics is. And that's why it's so fucking frustrating.
There's so many people like from all over the country, you know, again, like the of being like, it's happening there now. Mm-hmm. And even like Serbian people being like, yeah, we, you know, remember Slobodan Milosevic? And we kind of let that slide. 10 years later, they were back at it again and in power because we didn't handle that shit when it went down the first time. And it's going to happen again. Like if they don't do anything, it's place your fucking bets because you might be able to cash out and leave the country if you put enough money up now on that. Because they're truly not interested in this kind of accountability just based on the words I'm hearing out of the leadership. And to think again, and I was tweeting this last week, if you think they're going to fucking actually address climate change or fucking income inequality or systemic racism that exists even in law enforcement or our housing and things like that, you must be out your fucking mind.
The These cabinet people, picks so far are upsetting as fuck. There's nothing.
They
nothing
don't
hopeful.
Give a fuck. And they will let you. It won't be until they almost get their ass bit that they want to then do something. So what the fuck you think you're going to do? Like, it's like almost like if it's a human body and someone's stabbing you, the epidermis is the working people who are most vulnerable. But they are like the organs that are protected by like the rib cage and shit. So at the moment, they're like, oh, somebody's cutting the skin. And then the knife got to them. And they're like, ah. But everybody is feeling this pain and they're still, they just can't get their head out of it. I mean, a majority, because there's plenty of, you know, newer to the game or just progressive people in the House and Senate that understand what's going on. But my God, the inability to lead is really fucked. I mean,
it's a combination of self-interest and cowardice that is so deeply ingrained in all these people that makes them essentially completely unable to work for the people that elected them.
Yeah, because the wealthy should never be the representatives in government. They're only there at that point. They're only representing their own class. And then we are the ones that get the shit end of it.
The Slobodan Milosevic point is a really good one because, I mean, yeah, that's what people who are experts in, you know, how these sorts of coups happen. They're like, this is not the high, like we've been saying, this isn't the end point. This is the start point. This is how these things begin, is an unsuccessful one that people then realize, oh shit, we can get away with that. They're testing the fences, and to just let this shit go. Lindsey Graham's already like, this would just cause more problems if we, tried to impeach him. Like, that's they're ignoring, how history, how these things happen.
Because unfortunately, too, there's too many people whose own ass is on the line who are the ones who are going to have to administer dole out the punishments.
Right. Right.
And so they're not going to self-own. You kidding right. me? So that's why we find ourselves in this place constantly. And then everyone's like, well, I can't do it. That's the homie. Like, I know if they say they're not going to do it again, they're not going to do it again. Cut to, they're doing it again. It happened again.
Well, at least corporate America, corporations are.
At least they're safe.
Yeah.
they're weighing in with some strongly worded statements.
Yeah, I heard the McCrib said some really poignant things on the map.
In these times.
He's like, you know, I come and go, but while I'm here.
Could you imagine? It's a Snickers commercial. It's like, boy, those people should have just had a Snickers.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened anyway. Hungry? Why wait?
It's a lot of empty shit, but like, especially coming from these companies who donate to, you know, Republicans, like Boeing, obviously has a ton invested in the military industrial complex. And
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, and Mitch McConnell.
Straight
they came
up.
Out and had a statement about how, you know, they're not into this. We're for the peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah, that's what Raytheon said, too. I was that's really
oh,
from the heart. Thank you.
Yeah.
Axe body spray. Somebody left an Axe body spray can, like in the Capitol building.
Fucking
and Axe
classic.
Said, we'd rather be lonely than with that mob. Axe condemns yesterday's acts of violence.
Why didn't they say, we give the axe to the coup? That really
right.
is.
And they're like, let's not, were our commercials a little edgy and contributing to a culture of toxic masculinity? I don't know.
Nah.
But like, for real, we condemn the insurrection, but we will protect your right to an erection in public. And yeah, Verizon, who fucking blew out the Republican Party in 2016, their CEO is like, we condemn. This is the thing. And Judd Legum, who has, you know, really awesome newsletter and who's been really on top of like sort of corporate responsibility and how that all ties into like government and things like that. There are apparently a lot of like there's a lot of concern out of these multinational companies who have been funding the GOP that they're like, is there going to be consumer backlash? Because like we're also the reason like they have money for campaigns and to stay in office and because they're also helping our evil interests like Chevron, who has a great record, not even in this country, but across the globe in terms of geopolitics. They've never done a thing in the pursuit of oil. They're also like, oh, we call for this. So it's just very disingenuous and just stupid. I just want to, there's this like quick excerpt I read from an article that said, this outlet reported Wednesday that the Rule of Law Defense Fund, an arm of the Republican Attorneys General Association, was listed as one of the organizers of Wednesday's protest.
Hey.
Huh, what is this? The RAGA received hundreds of thousands of dollars in contributions last year from Coke Industries,
Boom.
Comcast,
Boom.
Walmart, Home Depot, hey. Amazon, Google, Ooh. And many other corporate donors. So these people actually crowdfunded this whole fucking get together too. And so I think that's another part of this that we have to keep focused on, is saying like,
it's all connected.
Y'all were also there too. And I think that's the thing, that they're going to do a much better job of acting like they had nothing to do with it, because it's a little more nuanced for people to make that connection that them funding these groups means they have a hand in it. But that's truly something that you hope, now that, like, apparently the Department of Justice announced that they said hundreds of attorneys and agents investigating what happened at the Capitol. And when they were investigating the like a lot of Trump's bullshit, the highest it ever got to was 19. Mm-hmm. So outwardly it seems like something could be happening, but you know, we're never gonna know till we know.
I don't trust this shit.
No. But yeah, that, I think that's another thing about with Trump, right? And that like video that he made. I'm curious if he's also looking at his control of the mob as a chip he can play to get out of this by saying,
probably,
yo, leave me the fuck alone, or watch me turn up.
Yeah, mobilize.
I'll turn
these people
the fuck up. And you saw what happened. That was me just showing y'all what I will fucking go off if you try this, that, and the other. I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but apparently when his own, like when Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone were like, hey, dude, you have like, you're legitimately exposed legally for like this insurrection. So you probably need to make that statement. And now Pat Cipollone is leaving, or they're saying it's being indicated that he is really considering resigning from his post as the counsel to the president, who was the guy in charge of all the pardons. And Bill Barr was also helping with that. So if Bill Barr is gone and Pat Cipollone, his attorney, that was like the one who was making sure none of the pardons were being written in a way that would conflict, he's in a lot of he's actually very exposed now. And there's a lot of reports that he's like, since Friday or Thursday night, been just interviewing a ton of lawyers to try and figure out how to just get through this time without going to jail. So it's desperate times. That's why I think it's even more important that he's removed, because I don't know what other chips are to play except for ones you can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And people, just going back to the corporations, if people want to read a good story about how corporations function in American history, they should look into the business plot, which was when a bunch of business leaders tried to organize with World War One veterans and the Veterans Association to do a fascist overthrow of the U.S. government and FDR in 1933, and never faced any repercussions.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wow.
Sophia, it's been so great having you.
It's always such a pleasure.
Again. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at the Sophia, Sofiya, on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, Miles and I have a podcast about 90 Day Fiance called 420 Day Fiance.
Politics free.
Yes.
Sometimes.
It's mostly just getting angry at people for bed packing and things like that.
Jack, do you ever pack your bed, pack a suitcase on your own bed in your home?
On your sheets.
Would you put your suitcase onto your bed where you rest? Not a hotel, we've talked about.
No,
if
no,
you
no.
Leave in one thing, your own bed.
Uh-huh, putting uh-huh. a suitcase.
When you're packing to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always put it on the ground. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, see, this is why we fuck with you. Okay. Yeah,
this is why we fuck with you.
Because you
why.
Guys are.
This is
Jack's
why.
On 90 day fiance or 420 day fiance now.
Yeah, that's it. This is how it works. You've been ordained.
Yeah, because I just think it's disgusting.
It's gross.
You put a suitcase. Imagine a suitcase going through airports. Ugh. The
Where
bellies of the
it's
plane.
Touched everything. Mm.
Put that on your own bed?
It's no, full of no, diseases.
No. Get out of here.
Ugh. It's like the rat of
You might as well pack in an
storage,
Olive Garden if you're going to do that.
Exactly.
Anyway, listen to our podcast. And I have another podcast about love and sex called Private Parts Unknown. We're doing a series right now on comedians of OnlyFans. So that's
oh,
super
nice.
Fun.
Oh, the Check comedians have... Who have are popping up on OnlyFans?
Yes.
Hey.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. In fact, my friend Eric Hahn, whose handle is @HahnEric, tweeted I miss the 80s and 90s when we had like three good looking men and that was it. We had Lowe, Depp, and Pitt. We made do and we were happy.
Oh, facts.
I think that one's great. And then on a totally different, not humorous note, I have Ashley Nicole Black's tweet, which is, now that I have punched you in the face, it's time to heal and move on. Mm-hmm. Assigning blame as to which of us did the punching and which got punched would only serve to divide us, a punchee and a puncher, even further. Now that my punching hand stings a little, I call for unity. Fucking sick tweet.
Yep. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, as Sophia said, on 420 Day Fiance. Some tweets I like. I mean, everybody knows this one at this point, but that Animaniacs edit of the woman who's like, it's a revolution, who now they're saying she may have been rubbing an onion on her eye to cry. It's just, I mean, I don't know about all that, but we'll see. Details will emerge. But let me just play this one.
I need 11,780.
They pushed me out and maced me.
Okay. So they pushed me out and maced me. So there's that one. And then lastly, a tweet that I like, just really made me laugh, is from Rajat Suresh. Rajat underscore Suresh tweeted, Antifa disguised themselves as me to divorce my wife. Oh shit. Too real.
Tweet I've been enjoying. Restaurant News tweeted this story. It said, at Burger King rebrands with new logo, modern design, and cleaner food. And then a link to an article. And Chase Mitchell said, really sneaking that last one in, like I'm not gonna have follow-up questions. Cleaner food. Like, what the fuck?
What that means.
It's really upsetting.
I guess that the food is dirty as fuck before. And then Blair Saki tweeted, going forward, men around the nation need to take a critical look at their choice of sunglasses if you don't want me to think you stormed the Capitol. You can find me on Twitter at Jack underscore O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine week upon?
Oh, this is a track from Al Pagoda, and it's called Black. And I just heard it like in between songs on the radio. And again, just funky, a little less like soothy like last time. I was starting last week with a little ear volume. This is just, we're turning up a little bit because I've got to get a little step going here. So this is Black by Al Pagoda. It's just got, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just, it'll feel good to just listen to for the last portion of the show.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.